Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 19. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Demons are by nature crooked like snakes. Therefore, to distribute a share of nectar to them was not at all feasible, since this would be as dangerous as supplying milk to a snake. Considering this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who never falls down, did not deliver a share of nectar to the demons. Purport. It is said, Sarpakrura kala krura, sarpat krura tara kalaha. The snake is very crooked and envious. And so also is a person like a demon. In other words, a demon is crooked and envious. Mantra shadi vashad sarpa kalakina nivaryate. Which means, one can bring a snake under control with mantras, herbs, and drugs. But an envious and crooked person cannot be brought under control by any means. Considering this logic, the Supreme Personality of Godhead thought it unwise to distribute nectar to the demons. Mukham karoti vachalam bhangam lange tegram yatripadvaham vade shirgurundinatarnam paramananda bhadavam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasya Gaur Bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We're being reminded in this verse about one of the darker qualities of our hearts. Our hearts have brilliant qualities, good qualities, and our hearts also have dark, bad, negative qualities. So the good qualities are tolerance, peacefulness, and the bad qualities are anger, envy, greed, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. Matsarya means envy. It's one of the dark qualities, the bad things. So what is the cause of envy? Why is one person envious of another person? Why does that quality, that dark quality within us, it burns us? At least it burns us if we're trying to advance on the spiritual path. For the materialist, life is made of envy. It is part of material life. Competition, envy, greed. But for the spiritualist, it is an impediment. It is an obstacle which must be removed. So the cause of envy is sense gratification. That is the cause of envy. The desire to gratify your senses. So when we see someone in a better position than us, we're envious of them. As we mentioned once before, that those that are equal to us, our peers, our colleagues, our associates, our equals, are we all joined together? Amala Harinam and Ramnam, so many devotees, I forget, I think it was a group of devotees in Mohan Rupa. We all joined together. So we joined together, so we're equal. But it's said among equals there is rivalry. There is rivalry. Competition. Rivalry means fighting and competition with your equals. And those that are superior to us, those that are above us, we're envious of them. He has a better position. In other words, we're envious because that person that is superior to me, he is getting more than I'm getting. He's the life membership director. He has a car. I only have a motor scooter. So I'm envious. I should have a car. Hey, I'm better than him. Who is this guy? I've been here, he's been here for 99 years. I've been here for 99 years. Why he should have a car? It's called envy. So we're envious of those who are superior to us. temple president, etc. And the envy, the cause of envy, is sense gratification. This person above me, or in a better position than me, has more money, he has more influence, he has more fame. So that's the position, how we view those above us. And those below us, those that are subordinate to us, we belittle them. We criticize them. Hey, out of my way. So this is the problem, the cause of this envy, as it's mentioned here. That a snake, because the demons here, Mohini Murti, did not want to give them the nectar, because their nature is like crooked and envious like a snake, Matsarya. So she didn't want to give them the nectar because it would increase their poison, increase their intoxication, increase their pride, and increase their duration of bondage in the material world. Because ultimately, Krishna is compassionate. In any form Krishna appears, one aspect of his presentation, or one aspect of his lila, is distributing compassion. So to give sense gratification to someone is not compassionate. That's violence. It's violence to the soul to increase their sense gratification. So the demons are already mad after sense gratification. So to give them nectar, which will make them immortal, make them very strong and powerful, will simply increase their term of bondage, because it will increase their sense enjoyment. So she was compassionate. It's not that she was envious of the demons, or she was mean or angry at the demons. She was very compassionate. So the snake, he can be charmed with mantras, mantra oshadi, mantra and medicine. He can be charmed. And you see, mantras means music. Mantra means vibration. When you go to Vrindavan, these tantrics and these snake wallas, they go around with little baskets. And they especially like the foreigners. They like the ungrazies. They like to catch them. Hey, look at the sarp. And then they bring their basket. And they whistle a little bit on their flutes or some little shanai or something. Then the cobra comes up, completely intoxicated cobra. Looks like he's been sleeping for 100 years. It kind of was like that, and you could just touch him on the head and he would fall asleep. So they charm him. They play, he goes like this when they play this music. But this phrase and the purport is that you can charm and control an envious or crooked snake. The snake is crooked, by its body is crooked, and it doesn't move in a straight line. It always goes like this. Just like crooked people. Crooked people never say the same thing twice. They say one thing to you and another thing to you and another thing, and they forget what they said to the first person. They get all entangled. But an expert demon, he has memory. Krishna also gives him memory. So he can remember the thousands of lies he's told. But sometimes the CBI, they catch them. They say, wait a minute, you told this lie over here and this lie over here. Okay, go to jail. But usually they're quite expert at lying. So an envious person is very difficult to control him. Very, very difficult. So we have to understand the nature of this dark quality of our heart, this matsarya, and see that this is a great impediment which must be removed. So how do we remove envy? How do we become free from envy? So of course, Prabhupada explains that if one is constantly engaged, if one is constantly engaged in Shravanam and Kirtanam, constantly engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, he will be free from envy. Obviously. Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. And who are the examples of such envy-free, we can say envy-free, like they have duty-free zones, duty-free zone, or pollution-free areas, or crime-free. So who is envy-free? Envy-free, if you become free of envy, the whole world will worship you. If you become free from envy, everyone will become your friend. If you become free from envy, you will be Krishna conscious. So there are examples, there are personalities who are free from envy. And we must remember them. We must glorify them on a daily basis. When Prabhupada was once asked, what does it mean to be renounced? How does one cultivate the mood of Vairagya? Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. As we mentioned yesterday, Vairagya Vidya. How does he cultivate this mood? By always remembering and worshipping the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Because they are the personifications of Krishna consciousness, they are prema bhaktas, and they are free from envy. And they are glorified. They are worshipped by everyone. Krishna kirtana gana nartana pro premamritambo nidhi. Dira dira jana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito. Nirmatsaro pujito. Nirmatsaro. Matsarya means envy. Nirmatsarya means free from envy. If you become free from envy, as I mentioned, pujito. You will be worshipped. Nirmatsaranam pujito. They were worshipped by whom? Who worshipped the six Goswamis? Dira adira. Dira dira jano priya kro. Janapriya. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopalabhata Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. They were very dear. They were very dear to the ruffians, to the adira. They were very affectionate and beloved and worshipped and honored and befriended by the envious, by the gundas, the dacoits of Vrindavan. They liked the six Goswamis. And then the brahmanas and the sober, the dira, dira jana. Dira jana means brahman. Tatikshva karunika. Tatikshva means dira. The brahman is dira. He is cool-headed. By his advancement of intelligence, he controls his mind and senses. Like Brahma. When Shiva came to insult Brahma, Brahma, with his intelligence, he was able to cool his anger down, control himself. Because of his vast intelligence, Adikavi. So the Brahmana, he has this quality of Dira. So the Brahmanas of Vrindavan, they worship the six Goswamis. So if we become free from envy, we'll actually become honored and appreciate, we'll become Janapriya, dear to every living entity. So how to become free from envy? Become free from envy is explained in Bhagavatam that one must constantly meditate. One must constantly meditate on the presence. Constantly meditate on the presence of Krishna within everyone's heart. Krishna, our beloved Lord, and our best friend, our guide, our protector, our worshipful master, he's residing in everyone's heart. And moreover, you can expand this meditation to understand how everything in this world is actually the potency of Krishna. Krishna has bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddhir evacha ahankara itimame bina prakriti ashtada. Prakriti. Prakriti means potency. It means shakti. It means energy. Whose shakti? Krishna says, my shakti. This world and everything in this world is made of me. It is my energy. My external energy. So we're always remembering that every object in this world is Krishna. It is Krishna's energy. It's a transformation of Krishna's energy. And Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. So ultimately the proper vision of a devotee is to see that every person, every living entity is my God brother. Because Krishna is everyone's heart, and everyone is serving Krishna in one way or the other, directly or indirectly. They're all my God brothers. They're all Krishna's family. And when one also extends this meditation to understand how I am qualitatively I am equal to everyone. Because we explained that the cause of envy is sense gratification. The cause of envy is the desire for sense gratification. So when we see someone above us, due to ignorance, when we see someone above us or superior to us, we become envious of him. I want what he has. Whoa, look at that lady's sari. You know, so gold everywhere. Whoa, but my husband, Ramnam, he's a poor Brahmin. He can only buy me a 1,000 rupee sari. But look at that sari. Wow, I wish I had that one. Is better than mine. This is envy. So this means that one is not actually seeing spiritually. What is spiritual vision? The ABCs of spiritual life is called Bhagavad Gita. And in Bhagavad Gita, we are supposed to master and realize every verse of Bhagavad Gita. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani gavi hashtani shunichaiva sapakicha pandita samadarshana. Pandita Samadarshanaha, one who is a learned man, who has intelligence, he sees equally. Equally means there is no one superior to me. There is no one superior to me. This is the proper cultivation of spiritual vision, to realize and to meditate, I am one with everyone. There is oneness. There's qualitatively, I am one with everyone. No one is superior to me. I am Satchidananda. You are Satchidananda. Krishna is within your heart. Krishna is within my heart. I have certain abilities and powers. You have certain abilities and powers. Let us serve Krishna. So this is, the devotee should cultivate this vision. He sees equally the elephant, the Brahman, the cow. Everywhere he sees Samadarshan. And if one is actually cultivating Samadarshan, which is a symptom of a Brahman, and should be one of the qualities of a devotee, then he must become free from envy. So the answer to the question, how to become free from envy? There's three different ways. To be constantly engaged in Shravanam and Kirtan, which I mentioned. Always be engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and you'll be in bliss. Your heart will be pure, your mind will be pure. And the other is the meditation, to realize that everyone is actually your God brother. So the devotee, when he cultivates this vision of oneness, that all this property, it belongs to Krishna. All this energy of this world is Krishna's potency. And everyone here is Krishna's part and parcel. Then this envy starts to disappear from the heart. And then he cultivates that I should treat everyone equally. A devotee is supposed to respect everyone. It's not that, oh, he's a big person, oh, he's a big Pandava Seva, I have to respect him. But the chokidar I push down the stairs. Oh, he's a chokidar, he's an uneducated man, I push him down the stairs. Oh, Mr. Kaurapati, please come in, here's the royal asan, here's all the best Mahaprasadam, here's this and that. This is envious mentality. This is actually the mentality of envy. You're seeing big and small. You're not seeing Samadarshan. A devotee is supposed to respect all of the property of the Lord equally. And he's supposed to respect even the most insignificant. Even the most insignificant living entity is to be duly respected by the devotee. Because Krishna is in his heart. The ant is a temple of the Lord. The cockroach is a temple of the Lord. The Kaurapati is a temple of the Lord. The dog is a temple of the Lord. And this is a temple of the Lord. So all the potency and energy of this world is to be respected as Krishna's expansion. It is Krishna. It is part of Krishna. And everyone in this world is to be honored and respected. That's why Kaviraj Goswami said that a Vaishnavi wears a mala. Of course, nowadays, Brahmacharis are also wearing mala. Swarna, they're wearing pearl necklaces and crystal necklaces and ruby necklaces and gold chains. This is the modern ISKCON Brahmachari. So many rings, so many gold chains. Of course, this is Maya, 1000% Maya. But if you have to embrace Maya, that's your problem. But Brahma said, the Brahmachari, no trinkets, please. No trinkets, no rings. We have faith in Krishna, not in Shanivar. Not in Budvar, in Shanivar. Oh, I have to wear a Neelamani because my Shani is debilitated. I have a Graha Yudya. Oh really? You think Krishna is not powerful enough to control Shani? Because it is said if you worship Lord Nisringadev, Lord Nisringadev controls Saturn. Shani. So why don't you worship Lord Nisringadev? Why do you have to have your gold chains and your rings and this and that and everything? This is not proper life. So Samadarshan, we must respect everyone. So no matter how insignificant a person is, we must respect them and honor them because Krishna is residing within their heart. And Krishna is noting, how are we treating every living entity? Because he's in the heart. We think we can push aside the chokidar, but we have to honor the Kaurapati. But to actually, if we want to get free from envy, which is the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness, because envy is the opposite of love. Prabhupada explains the nature of Vrindavan. He said Vrindavan is free from envy. In Vrindavan, the tigers and the sadhus, they live peacefully together. Because van means a forest. So in the forest, the sadhus are there in their ashramas, and they have cows, and they have goshala. And they milk the cows, and they get some milk, and they go outside the ashram, and they put a big bowl of milk there. And the tiger is like a big cat. If you've ever had a little kitty cat, you give him some milk. He likes to drink milk. So they put milk outside and the tiger comes and drinks some milk. So Prabhupada says that Vrindavan, there is no envy. This is what Vrindavan means. The land of Vrindavan is envy. But when we hear the word van, forest, we become very afraid. Whoa, go to the forest, I'm very afraid. The tiger may eat me, the snake may bite me, the scorpion may pinch me and poison me. We're very afraid of the word forest. But in Vrindavan, there's no need for this because there's no enviousness there. The cat is happy. The dog is happy, the monkey is happy, the tiger is happy, the man is happy, everyone is happy. Why? Because each living entity in Vrindavan, according to his own capacity and according to his own qualification, is rendering service to Krishna. The tiger is serving Krishna, the monkey is serving Krishna. Although sometimes people say, oh, the monkeys are envious and they're mischievous. They're always snatching people's food. No, that they're not envious. That is their nature. And even in Vrindavan, Krishna is feeding the monkeys. Krishna himself, he feeds the monkeys and distributes butter to them. Because in Vrindavan, everyone is in this mood of serving Krishna. There's no envy there. But in the material world, because of envy, the philosophy of the material world is, I live, you die. I live, you die. My business goes up, your business goes down. And where your kids get their next meal, I don't care. I don't care about your wife. Let your business fail. I live, you die. This is envious consciousness, the material world. But in the spiritual world, the consciousness is, oh, Krishna sent us this prasadam. Let's divide this prasadam. Let's divide this food as Krishna prasadam, distribute equally to everyone. This is Vrindavan. No envious. Oh, I have it. Like you see on the train, if you ever ride the train, sometimes there's some Western tourists or something on the train, Delhi to Agra or Delhi to Mathura, and they'll pick in their bag and they'll pull out a big bag of cookies or something out of their bag. They'll open the cookies and they start eating them like anything in front of everyone. Now if you sit there with a group of Indian people in the same compartment, they'll pick out a bag of cookies and the first thing they do is say, oh, Prabhu, they don't even know the people. Please have a cookie, have some cookie here, help yourself. And they give everyone the cookie that everyone has, then they take some cookie, no, some prasad, cookie prasad. So there's a different mentality, not like, oh, I have food, I live, you die. Enviousness. This is envious. The cause of envy is sense gratification. I have sense gratification, I have a bag of cookies, you don't, too bad for you. Tough luck, Jack. But in mentality of India is a little bit some compassion, some sharing mood. And this is Vrindavan. Oh, I have something, let me share. Not, oh, I have the sense gratification, you kind of have it. So this is the reminder of this quality of envy, how we have to get free from it. And we discussed some points, how that by cultivating this proper vision, wait a minute, why am I envious of this person? What does he have that I don't have? Because this is what I mentioned, that when we actually meditate and realize that we are qualitatively, we are equal to everyone. No one is greater than us. No one is above us. So because no one is superior to us, there is no cause to be envious. I am a spirit soul. You are a spirit soul. You are rendering some service to Krishna. I am rendering some service to Krishna. Let us go on together and cooperate. Let us cooperate and serve Krishna. And to try to see, another point is to try to see everyone's connection with Krishna. And it doesn't take much. As I mentioned, all the material energy is Krishna's potency. And within everyone's heart is Krishna. So we have to actually learn how to behave in a non-envious way. And then we will become like the six Goswamis. Dira dira janapriyo priya karo. Janapriya karo. They were very dear to everyone because they treated the chokidar and the Pandava Seva and the Kaurapati and the lady and the gentleman and the aunt, everyone equally. As Krishna has come before me in this form, let me honor him. You think Krishna is not watching when you speak out of the corner of your mouth or you speak down to some what you consider lower person? Because actually a devotee, he considers himself lower than the lowest. Excuse me, as I mentioned, that's the point I got off on. I said about the brahmacharis are wearing mala. They're wearing mala, golden chains, and I got off on that point. But the actual mala that we're supposed to wear, Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that every devotee, brahmachari, grihastha, lady, man, etc., we are supposed to wear a mala. And that mala is one shloka, shloka mala. Trinada pi suni chena turo iva sahishnana amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. That is supposed to go around our necks. That is the mala we're supposed to wear. Not gold chain, pearl chain, crystal chain. This is not our mala. So this is to remind us that yes, I am supposed to think of myself. I'm actually supposed to think of myself as lower than the straw in the street. Everyone is actually greater than me. Everyone is greater than me and they should be honored. They should be worshipped. They should be served. Not that, hey, I'm a big this, I'm a big that. Push this one out of the way, push that one out of the way. This is very dangerous situation. We see in Chaitanya Leela, there was one person named Gopal Chapal. And he every night there was a kirtan in Shivas Thakur's house. Wonderful kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya was meeting there with his antaranga bhaktas, all of his internal associates, very confidential associates, Panchatattva, Rari Gupta, Mukunda Das, Haridas Thakur, etc. And they would lock the door and lock the gate and have a nice kirtan inside Shiva Sangam. And Gopal Chapal was one Mayapur Brahmin. And he wanted to come inside and see the kirtan. But he was very envious. He was very envious of the devotees. And he was very envious of Srivas Thakur. Because he thought, I'm a Brahmin, but this Srivas Thakur has become so famous. He's become so prominent. Everyone's going to his place at night. Hundreds of people are going there. Just now, when this kirtan, sankirtan movement started, he was just a Brahmin in this community. Now he's so famous, everyone meets in his house every night and they have wild parties inside, chanting and dancing. So he was thinking, enviously, how to put him down. How to remove him. He wanted to defame him. He wanted to defame Shivas Thakur. Because he was envious. He said, why is he getting this honor? Why is he getting so much fame, popularity, everyone coming to his place? So he wanted to put him down. So at night, he got all the puja paraphernalia for worshipping Bhavani. Bhavani is a form of Durga. Some red flower, some red chandan, red sandalwood paste, and some wine, and different articles for worshipping. And he put it on the step, on the outside. Outside the wall, he put it on the step of the house of Shivas Thakur. So then the next day, Thakur came out of his house and he saw that. Those puja paraphernalia for Durga. So then he called the panchayat. He called the senior members of the village, Mayapur. He said, please, everyone come. Look, now you know. Although I'm posing myself as a Gaudiya Vaishnava, a worshipper of Vishnu. Actually, I'm a Shakta. I'm a worshipper of Bhavani. Because, you have to understand, in Bengal 500 years ago, there was great rivalry, there was great kind of competition between the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas. Who would be more popular? Who had more fame? Who had more followers? Who had more temples or whatever? So, it was considered, at this time, the Vaishnavas, to be a Vaishnava, that was considered a higher position. Considered a devotee, was considered a very senior position and a kind of a higher position of society. But to be a Shakta was considered a little bit lower position. So Shivas Thakur said, look, now you know, I'm Shakta. And everyone, of course, understood the real import of this exhibition. And they said, Shivas, who has done this? Who has done this? Why did they try to defame you and bring down your name like this and do this to you? Put all these wine and meat and all these things in front of your door. So they found out there was one person, envious Brahmin, Gopal Chapal. Gopal Chapal. So it's explained in the Vedas, I can't remember where, but someone mentioned once. But it says that if someone offends, if you commit Vaishnava Aparad, actually, Prabhupada says that to be envious of a Vaishnava, he says to be envious of a Vaishnava is a great aparad. It is Vaishnava aparad. It's a great offense to be envious. That's a mental condition, unless you express it and speak about the person. But just to have that mental condition To be envious of someone is actually a great aparad, Vaishnava aparad, Prabhupada said. It's a great offense. So in one place in Vedic literature, it mentions if someone offends a great soul, he gets a reaction. He gets some kind of reaction. He loses his wealth, he reduces his lifespan, he gets some disease or some accident, some negative punishment. He gets within 3 days, within 3 weeks, or something, and at the maximum 3 years, something like 3 years. You're going to offend so many people, then you go along, and all of a sudden after 3 years, you fall on your face. So Gopal Chappal, he illustrated this point, and there are many examples also that this 3 day period, where someone offends someone and within 3 days. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this story is told, that 3 days after he made this offense to Srivas Thakur, he got leprosy. A heavy case of leprosy. His nose was falling off, and there were millions of germs all over him. And so he was banished from the town of Mayapur. It was very contagious disease and very embarrassing. You're no nose and oozing sores and blood. You don't want to see anyone. No one wants to see you. And you have to, you're ostracized from the village. You have to live outside. So he lived outside the village by the Ganges. So one day Lord Chaitanya was passing there with some of his friends, walking by there with some of his associates. And Gopal saw him. He said, "Oh, Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, you're so magnanimous. You're so merciful. Please, because there was some family connection. He was like a cousin, some kind of cousin of Lord Chaitanya. He said, I am in the village. I am connected with you by family relationship. Please, you can see how I'm suffering. I'm suffering with leprosy and so many worms are biting me and I'm in a detestable condition, despicable condition. Please, bestow your mercy upon me." And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, "You are a Vaishnava offender. You are an offender to the Vaishnava. You are a sinful wretch. I let those worms bite you for the next millions, let those worms bite you for the next millions and millions of years. May you be bitten by those worms and those sores of your leprosy." But he wasn't, Lord Chaitanya wasn't too merciful with this particular person. Because, of course, he came back later in Aparad Bhanga and he forgave everyone after some time. But at that time, he was very strict and very stern. So this shows that I had to be very careful not to be offensive to the Vaishnavas. Of course, that was a serious offense to what he did, this Gopal Chappal. But the point is that this disease of envy must be rooted out from the heart. And we can reflect on some of the points that we mentioned about how to remove that envy. How can we develop the tendency to see the good qualities in the devotees rather than the bad qualities? They use the analogy of the fly and the honeybee. A honeybee always goes to the flower and takes the nectar, pollen, makarande and madhu, nectar, sudha, madhu sudha, this word is there, sudha. Sudha means nectar. But the fly, he likes to land, if you have a cut on your leg, he'll keep coming back to your cut and land on your cut and try to drink the blood or the pus or the bad things or what to speak of, stool and things. I think that as one becomes, from what I can understand, from our own experience, as you advance in Krishna consciousness and increase your appreciation of Krishna, you can appreciate how he's working. Because we read in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Paurasham Nrishu. He says, "I am the ability in man." There's one verse. He says, Rasoham Apsukonteya, Rabasmi Shashi Suryo, Pranavasavadeshu, Shabdake Paurasham Nrishu. Purusham Nrishu. I am the ability in man. I am the strength of the strong. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So if we study the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it doesn't mean just to bounce it off our eyeballs. Bounce the philosophy off our eyes. It's supposed to penetrate into the deep recesses of our consciousness. The philosophy is supposed to penetrate into our consciousness and into the recesses of our heart and then come back out through our hands, through our feet, through our eyes, through our mouth, and through our thinking. We're supposed to think philosophically. We're supposed to speak philosophically. We're supposed to see philosophically. What philosophy? The philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is a pure philosophy of appreciating everyone and understanding. So if we have the foundation of Sambandha Gyan, and then we practice it, that actually, yes, this person, I'm on Sankirtan party, I'm distributing books, but he's number one. Well, how was he able to be number one? Because Krishna gave him the ability. Krishna's the ability in man. Krishna gave the intelligence. He didn't give me so much ability or so much intelligence. Anyway, let me surrender more. He surrendered more. He got. It's a matter of philosophical seeing. And the other thing, the other point is that as the heart becomes purified, you start to develop appreciation. Prabhupada was once asked, is it possible, Prabhupada, I like Krishna, I like to see the deities and worship them, but I can't get along with the devotees very well. And I don't like them, moreover, I don't even like many of the devotees. Is it possible, any devotee said, is it possible to love Krishna without loving the devotees? And Prabhupada said, it's not possible. It's impossible to love Krishna without loving his devotees. So the beginning of love is based on sambandha. There has to be relationship, understanding, knowledge. Who is the beloved? Who am I? What is our relationship? Then there's action in that relationship. And as we act in the service of Krishna, and as we act in the service of Guru, we develop appreciation of love of Godhead. Love of Godhead has a foundation of appreciation. I appreciate the devotees. I appreciate my Guru. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to my Gurudev. And I'm grateful to the devotees because without them, what am I? I'm nothing. I need their... We're always coming to each other. Prabhu, can you help me with this? And then Prabhu, can you help me with that? Isn't it? All of us are... It's not anyone who can think, oh, I never need anyone. I'm completely independent, self-reliant. Everyone is always, we're dependent on each other because ultimately that is our position. We're dependent on Krishna at every moment. And Krishna maintains us, and Krishna enthuses us, and Krishna pushes us forward, and Krishna helps us. How? Through his Kripa Murti Shakti. Through his mercy Shakti. And the mercy of Krishna is expressed and embodied in the form of the devotees. All the devotees are representations of Krishna's kindness and Krishna's mercy. So I think my understanding, if one has a philosophical foundation, strong philosophical foundation, he tries to practice what he preaches or tries to put his philosophy into practice by seeing that way and feeling that way, because as we advance, the heart starts to develop feelings. It starts to soften. And part of a softening is appreciation. And then, like Krishna says, how do you control the mind? By constant practice and detachment. So how do you develop this envy-free, we say envy-free mind? By practicing. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, maybe Lokanath Swami mentioned when he gave that class, he did a very practical demonstration of this point. So you can do the same thing within the confines of your own mind. Pretend that your mind is like a temple room, and all the devotees are in the temple room. Because this is what Bhakti Sananda Saraswati did in a very practical way. He would have all the devotees there. He would sit on the asana for all his brahmacharis, mostly brahmacharis, sannyasis. And he knew that there was some rivalry between equals. Because remember, I said among equals there is rivalry. Those that are superior, we were envious of them. And those that are below us or subordinate to us, we belittle them. We criticize them. We fault find them. We push them down. So he knew that maybe, you know, Varaha and Ram Nam have some rivalry. So then he would say, Varaha, will you please stand up? Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, will you please stand up and glorify Ram Nam? This is like Istagosti setup. So Varaha would stand up and say, Gurudeva, Ram Nam, well, yeah. Because he's envious, he doesn't, you know, there's some rivalry, he doesn't like, you know, he has some anger, some problem with them, and then the Gurudev would say, well, come on, there must be some things good, you have to say something. Gurudev, he worships Krishna, you know, Ram Nam, he worships Krishna like we do. Yes, and any other good things? He wears tilak. You know, like gradually, the devotee would start to open up. Well, anything else? Well, he works really hard to try to collect money for the temple, and gradually it starts. And so then he would sit down. Varaha would sit down, and Bhakti San would call on Ram Nam and say, "Will you please get up and glorify Varaha?" And he would say, "Gurudev, thing is." I can't find anything because the heart, there's so much rivalry that the heart becomes very hard and you can't say anything nice about the other person or even think anything nice. It takes a long, long time to even start to think one good thought when you get caught up in this bond, when you get this bind of rivalry and this bind of envy. You can't even think a good thought about another person, especially if he's your rival. So when you're called on the spot to think a good thought and speak a good word, you're paralyzed. Your mind and senses are paralyzed. Yeah, Varaha, he can play mridanga. He knows how to play mridanga, Gurudev. And then Gurudev would say, oh, he knows how to play? Is that all? Well, he's pretty good. No, he's pretty good at mridanga. He can sing. He sings sometimes. You know, oh, well, everyone sings. And the Gurudev says, well, everyone sings. And then Ram Nama says, well, yeah, actually, he sings pretty good, Gurudev. Gurudev, he's a good bhajan man. He sings good bhajan. You know, in this way. So this way, gradually the mind and heart start to open up with appreciation for the devotees. It's hard. I know it's hard. It's very hard. Because we only love ourselves. And we only appreciate ourselves. But the beginning of appreciation of Krishna and the beginning of love of Krishna begins with Krishna manifest before us as his part and parcels. Krishna manifests before us as his devotees. We have to learn to appreciate them and to love them. Well, what does love mean? Rupa Goswami explains. To serve. Give gifts in charity, receive gifts, give prasadam, receive prasadam, speak your mind, reveal your mind. These are the symptoms of loving exchange, pritilakshanam. The fact that envy is very deep rooted in the heart, ichadvesha smutena dvandavarta mohina, that we're born with this desire and hatred or envy of the Lord. It's part of our makeup and part of the core of our existence is this envy, this material envy. So even though externally we're trying to go through the motions and exhibit some saintly behavior or some respectful behavior towards one another, still it's very difficult to. The fact remains that down in there there's this black snake of envy waiting to bite us and bite anyone at any moment. So how do we deal with this? And some devotees are superior to us and some are below. So the Prabhupada mentions in one purport that we should associate with the superior devotees, the advanced devotees. Because by associating with the advanced devotees, the purity of their heart shines deep into the crevices of our heart. Like the crevices and the deep holes in our heart where that envy is lurking and that envy is hiding. So by constant association with advanced devotees, their purity and their sunlight of Krishna consciousness shines brightly within our hearts and illuminates our hearts. And that is, practically speaking, the best way. Because we see, when we associate with pure devotees and advanced devotees, we see how they speak and how they act and how they treat others and how they treat the material energy. And it starts to create an impression, like a sankalpa, and creates an impression on our mind and heart. And it becomes, we say, by association you develop those qualities, just like a crystal reflects whatever color it's next to. If a crystal is next to red, the crystal looks red. So we start to reflect the qualities of those devotees we associate with. That's why we're always encouraged and induced to go up, to associate and serve those that are above us, so that their mercy will flow down to us. Their sneha, their affection will flow down to us and we'll become illuminated. We'll start to think like they think and see like they see. And automatically the purification will go on by their association. There's nothing more purifying than association. But it's rare. It's hard to find. It's hard to find those advanced devotees. That's a fact. So we're pretty much thrown together with each other on a day-to-day basis. So we have to strive, everyone has to strive sincerely within themselves to rectify their behavior, to purify their existence, and to constantly improve. Always have a mood of progression. Progressive. Oh, I wasn't so good yesterday, or I have to improve myself. I haven't attained perfection. I have a long way to go. So that creates a certain aura, or certain circle of humility around ourselves. When we start to think, I have so far to go. Perfection is so far away. I have to work so hard. How can we become proud? Oh, I'm big this, I'm big that. And we're so far from perfection. So if we're conscious, if we're actually conscious of our position and constantly thinking, what is my love for Krishna? Zero. What is my love for Guru? Something. I'm trying to serve Guru. He told me to do this, I'm doing this. We're trying, some love is there, we're trying to serve. We have to be very honest in assessing ourselves. What is my value? What is my worth? What is my attainment? What is my realization? If I'm to face death right now, what will I have in my hand? What Krishna consciousness do I have? So it makes all of us individually very respectful and very, if we're constantly immersed in philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we're reminded of our real position. But when we forget, Maya's nature is to cover us. She covers us and makes us forget. We start to think, oh, I'm okay, I'm doing all right. Sometimes if you ask a devotee, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing very well. That means the devotee's in Maya. The devotee says, I'm doing very well, I'm doing very fine. That means he's not being very straightforward. But he should say, Maharaj, or anyone should say, I'm not doing very well, I'm trying my best, but I have a long way to go. In other words, we don't feel that, oh yeah, now I'm doing fine, now I'm quite alright. When we attain Krishna Prema, when we get liberated from all of our bad qualities, then we might think, well, by Guru's mercy, by Guru's grace, we've attained something, but there's still so far to go. There's never an end. There's no end to Krishna consciousness. It's always expanding. So we can never think, oh, I've attained the perfection, I've attained the topmost position. We can always go further, and always surrender more, and always serve more.